Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Let's go to John chapter 10, 10. Now listen, you already saw the sermon, the video bumper for this series, Abundant Life. How many of you have been saved for longer than 20 years? Raise your hand. Anybody? There's a few of us. Anybody been saved longer than 10 years? Raise your hand. Longer than 5 years? Raise your hand. Got a lot of new believers. If you've been saved less than 5 years, just raise your hand. Man, we rejoice. Look at all these hands of new family. I say all that to set this up. You see abundant life. You hear John 10 and 10. I don't want anyone to check out because you've heard this verse before and you think you know where we're going with the abundant life. Now, and I'll preach on it here in just a little bit or teach a little bit of it. This is not about only bigger bank accounts, bigger houses, and nicer cars. It can be, but that is so far down on our list when it comes to the abundant life of God. And so I want us to get ready for this. John 10 and 10, I'm going to read two versions, the King James Version and the Amplified Version. The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. This is Jesus talking. But I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. This is how Amplified would say it. The thief comes only in order to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance. And then the Amplified says abundance means to the full and until it overflows. Somebody shout full. Somebody shout overflow. Amen. You may be seated in the house of God today. Most of you will not remember the gentleman that I'm going to talk about for the next minute, but right here next to where Sister Gloria Zamaripas is sitting was a man by the name of Leslie Nichols. Leslie Nichols was one of the greatest Christian men I've ever met. I grew up knowing Leslie, and then I had the pleasure of pastoring him for over almost 20 years. And I love Leslie, tall guy, but man, dignified, a gentleman, always dressed for success, always had an encouraging word. But I love this story about Brother Leslie. He said, I grew up in a denomination that did not teach about more of God and the blessing of God and the Spirit of God. He said, when I came to Living Way and y'all started talking about overflow, he said, the only kind of overflow I knew was when my toilet would overflow. He said, but sitting here for years and years, and even next door before we built the building we're in today, he said, I would sit there and I would hear about God wanting to do more, about God wanting to be more. And he said, Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday, I heard that taught and preached. And he said, I began to embrace the truth that Jesus did not just want to save me, but that Jesus wanted to transform everything in my life that was connected to me. That Jesus didn't want to just take me to heaven through the redemption that was found at the cross, but that Jesus literally wanted to fill me up in such a way that I can make an impact to everybody that I was connected to on this earth. Just a few moments ago, there was dozens of hands that went up of people that have been saved maybe for less than 5 years. Maybe you did grow up in a denominational church that did not teach you about the bigness of God. But I've come to encourage you, and over the next few weeks, we are going to teach you and we're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we want to introduce you to another dimension of Jesus, that he's more than just a Savior that died on a cross. But he wants to be Lord of every aspect of our lives. Tyler said it best just a few moments ago. He said, I believe in the prosperity gospel, and there's some that don't. A few years ago, I was being interviewed and filmed for an HBO documentary. And the line of questioning in the documentary took a right turn. And he said, so are you a prosperity preacher? And he thought that that was going to be offensive to me. He thought that I would bristle up at that. I said, oh, yeah, I'm a prosperity preacher, but I'm also a grace preacher, a mercy preacher. I'm also a healing preacher. I'm also a delivering preacher. I believe the word of God from beginning to back. And so when you come to Living Way, we don't want you to just embrace three or four scriptures that make you feel good or talk about the blessing and favor of God. If we can get you to embrace the God of favor and not just the favor of God, if we could get you to embrace the great physician and not just the healing that he provides, if we could get you to embrace the great and almighty deliverer, and not just seek his hand for deliverance. It's not what God can do for you, it's who God is. I praise him for what he's done. I praise him for what he's doing and what he will do. But remember this, church, we worship God not for his performance. We worship God not for what he has done or what he will do. We worship God because there's no one like him, and he is worthy of all of our honor, all of our glory. God, I worship you because there's none like you. God, I worship you because no one can do what you've done. God, I worship you because you are Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi. I worship Jehovah. I worship God. I worship the being of who he is, not just what he can do for me. In this series, in the next few weeks, we will discuss the biblical definition of life, which is what we'll get into today. Recognizing how the enemy works to keep us from the abundant life. Let me just pause and say this. The devil is so mad that you said yes to Jesus. He's ticked off that you don't have a $25 a day habit anymore. He is so upset that you're not bumping in the club all weekend anymore. He is so mad that you have entered into a marriage with one person instead of sleeping around. He is so mad that you don't wake up looking for a drink or looking for something. He is so mad that you and I have given our lives to Jesus. I've said this before, but it's been a long time. There's a lot of people in this room, he's already given up on the prospects of dragging you to hell. But what he wants to do now is he wants to bring hell on earth to your life. And he said, if I can't take them to hell, I'm going to make the road to heaven as much hell as I can. And so he does his best to steal the abundant life that Christ came to give us. So we'll recognize how the enemy works to keep us from the abundant life. What does the abundant life really look like? Again, if you think abundant life is bigger bank accounts and more cars, you are sorely mistaken, and you are tapping into a very, very small dimension of what God wants to do in your life. And then there is a purpose as to why God gives us the abundant life. The abundant life is not for us to get lazy. The abundant life is not for us to have an easy life. The abundant life is given for a purpose, and we will get there this series. Somebody say the abundant life. In the New Testament, there are three words that are used for life. The English language compared to the Greek language is so simplistic. And so we hear words like life in the Bible, and we think that we know what it means because we have assigned our definition to the Word of God or to Greek words. And so the three Greek words in the Bible that describe life are bios, psuche, and zoe. Bios is physical life. Bios is seen when you take your very first breath and oxygen fills your lungs as a newborn baby. Bios has taken effect and has taken form. Then you've got psuche. Psuche would be the soul life. It is another thing that you are born with. It is your soul. It is your decision making. It is the thought. It is the mind. But then there is zoe. Zoe is eternal life. It's divine life, the divine life of God. Let's break these down just so we know exactly what we're talking about. Bios is the physical life. The Greek word translated as life, bios, is found in Luke 8:14. And this is the story of the good ground and of the seed. And they which fell among thorns are they which they have heard go forth, but they are choked with the cares and riches and the pleasures of this life and brings no fruit to perfection. So when you see the word life in Luke 8:14, it is talking about the physical things of life. When we go back to John 10:10, we cannot ascribe what Jesus is saying. He came to give us the bios of life, because this is the fact, church. Everybody that is born gets oxygen. They didn't do anything to get oxygen. They didn't do anything to see the trees, to feel the breeze. They didn't do anything to get their sight. They didn't do anything to have their body. That is a gift from God. But when we talk about life and life in abundance in John 10:10, we are not talking about bios. But bios, church, listen to this, can become the biggest detraction, distraction, and can rob you of what God is wanting to do, because it is those issues of bios and life that seem to be what everybody is chasing. The pursuit of happiness. If it feels good, do it. If you enjoy it, do it. Follow your heart. Build the house. Take the promotion. Date her. Marry him. It's all about the bios of a physical life, but it is not Zoe. And there is so many of us that are so concerned with the bios of life that we have turned a deaf ear and our back to the greatest life, the abundant life that Jesus came to give us, which was not bios life. We've already been given that. But it is the Zoe life. It is the eternal life. It is the part of God that everyone has access to, but most people don't step into. Bios here refers to life of the physical body. Our English word biology would come from bios. The next is psuche, is how they would say it in Greek. How we would say it in English is psyche. It is where we get our words like psychiatrist and psychologist. It is, and it has to do with soul life. Matthew 16:25 talks to us about psuche. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. It's not talking about saving the bios. It's not talking about saving your air, making sure your heart is beating, making sure that your body is aligned and living. And when we talk about losing it, it's saying the psyche. It is what makes up our mind. It is the soul part of us. This is what the Bible's saying here. Anyone that loses, anyone that lays down their decision, anyone that lays down their power of choice, anyone that takes on the mind of Christ and says, here, God, take my mind that's messed up. He said, those that will lay down their psyche, he said, they really save their life. See, it's not submission until you do something that you don't want to do. When I came to Jesus, Brandon, as I knew him, died. My psyche died. My decision-making died. The way I want to do things died. My flesh died. The lust of the flesh had to be crucified, and I put on the mind of Christ so that I could get his life instead of living my life. Most English versions of the New Testament simply use the word life in Matthew 16, but the Greek says it's a soul life. It's psychology. It's the soul, the mind, our emotions, our will. Isn't it amazing that there are people who got emotional during worship today, and you used to get emotional about someone else, and you used to get emotional about something else? I'm here to tell you, I've told the story, and I won't go through the whole story, but my friend that got married before me and had kids before me, the night before my wedding, he said, "You gonna cry at the wedding?" I said, "No, I'm not going to cry." And I did not cry. He said, "Well, you'll cry when your kids are born." And Tyler was born, I didn't cry. He said, "Oh, but when you have that little girl, you're going to cry." Didn't cry. The only time I cry is when I'm in the presence of the Lord. It's the emotion. Why? Because I've given my psyche, I've given my psyche, I've given my life now to Him. My bios belongs to God. My psyche belongs to God. And when you sacrifice your bios and your psyche and you say, "God, I give that to you," God is saying, "That's what I've been waiting for. Because when you give me those, I'm going to give you zoe life. I'm going to give you a life that is abundant." So zoe means eternal. It means the divine life of God. John 1 verse 4, I love this. In Him, talking about Jesus, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Remember, Jesus said He's the light of the world. Then Jesus turned to disciples and followers, and He said, "You are the light of the world. How can I be the light if you're the light? Because I have given you zoe. I have given you an eternal life. I have given you an eternal light." And so when we see in Him was life and life was the light of men, we are talking about from the very creation of this earth, the 7 days of creation, the 6 days where God spoke things into being and He rested on the seventh day. He created bios in that moment. He created psyche in that moment. But I'm here to tell you, He did not create zoe in that moment, because zoe is eternal. It has no beginning and it has no end. I am concerned that we are not more concerned with making sure we have tapped into the zoe life. This is what I'm saying, church. Heaven and earth will pass away. Bios will pass away. Psyche will pass away. But zoe is eternal, because when God gives us life, it has no beginning. It has no ending. The zoe I feel during worship is the zoe I'll feel in heaven. The zoe I feel when the Spirit takes over is the zoe we feel and will feel for eternity. But here's the trade. You got to let go of bios. You got to let go of your psyche, psyche. And you got to say, "God, I've let go of those. Now I'm ready for zoe. I'm ready for a life that other people, even though they have access to, don't step into." That's why it's crazy to me, church, that we have pastors that are preaching that you can't get healed anymore, that the gifts of the Spirit died with the apostles, that delivering power is no longer available, that God does not want to bless you. I can't get with that. Why? Because I've sacrificed every part of my life so that I could get the zoe life, the eternal life, the abundant life. And you got to me too late, because I've seen God's hand heal. I've seen God's hand fill. I've seen God's hand deliver, not just in others, but in my life. I'm sorry if you say somebody can't be filled with the Holy Ghost, because I got filled with the Holy Ghost when I was 17 years of age. And the last 24 years, I've been speaking in tongues. The last 24 years, I've been led of the Spirit. There's so many that are saying the zoe life, the abundant life of Christ is no longer available, when it's simply not true, because you are in a room with hundreds of people today. You are watching online today, and there's too many of us that we've lived the zoe life. We have lived the eternal. We have lived the divine. We have seen and heard and felt God show up. Zoe refers to the uncreated eternal life of God. Listen to this next statement. Everything on this earth, everything that we see, smell, touch, feel, taste, it was all created. The one thing that wasn't created was God. He was here before it all. And he'll be here when it's all over. That's abundant life. It's tapping into the God that before there was light was existing. That when all of this world, the apocalypse or whatever's going to happen at the end of this life, when all of that is going on and it's over, there will still be a Zoe life. And it comes through Jesus Christ. So now let's revisit our original text, John 10 and 10. The King James Version says it like this: the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life. Let's break that down. He didn't come to give us bios. We already had it. Didn't come to give us suke. We already had it. What did he come to give us? Zoe. He came to say there's a better way to live than you're living. Can we take just 30 seconds, 45 seconds, and remember when we had problems but we didn't have Jesus yet? Can we remember what it was like to be sick and we had to depend on doctors only and we didn't have the great physician and the relationship? Can we remember what it was like to be addicted to stuff, addicted to people, addicted to religion, but we didn't have Zoe? Do you remember what it was like to be alone with your thoughts? That was a scary place, praise God. Do you remember what it was like to get the gun out of the drawer or out of the safe? Do you remember what it was like to hold the pill bottle or get the razor blade? Do you remember what bios and suke was without Christ? But thanks be to God, when he died on the cross, not only did he give us eternal life, he gave us Zoe. He said, I'm making a way for you to come to me at the end, but I've made a way for you to come to me in the middle. It's Zoe. It's abundant life. When I got married 20 years ago, I didn't know that I was going to get a best friend out of the deal. I didn't know that I was going to get a counselor out of the deal. I didn't know I was going to get a doctor. You say, is she a doctor? She's good on WebMD, and she has scared me to death sometimes. But in 20 years, I found out that the life that I thought I was getting on February 15, 2003, is very different than the life I have now. And it's 100 times better. And that's with imperfect people. When I look back over my life, and I was struggling with bios, and I was struggling with psyche, and then Jesus stepped in, I thought, and maybe it's just me, church, I thought that I was just getting a savior. I thought that I was just getting a get-out-of-hell-free card. I thought that I was just going to get eternity with him. But what I found out over the last 24 years is that I've got a counselor that is the greatest counselor that I have ever met. I've got a doctor that I call the great physician. I've got an exorcist that I don't have to wait for priests, but he shows up and has given me the authority to stomp on serpents, to stomp on scorpions, and to evict the devil out of. I thought I was just getting a savior, but I got an eternal God. And I've fallen in love, church, with Zoe. I've fallen in love with a God that is everything that I need him to be. Sometimes I need peace, and Zoe's there. Sometimes I need joy, and I found Zoe life in the life of Christ. I don't know what you're going through, church. I don't know what you're going through online as you watch us today, but I do know this, that Christ did not only die to take you to heaven, he died and unleashed a Zoe kind of life. And if you will say yes to Jesus, not with your eternity, but say yes to Jesus with your now, you can get the abundant life, the Zoe life. So we read John 10 and 10 in King James. We've read it in the Amplified, but let's read it as the Greek would say it, the Zoe translation. I, Christ, have come that you might have Zoe and have Zoe abundantly. Remember, Zoe is the eternal divine life of God. God, I would be more than happy with just the Zoe life. But he goes beyond an eternal and a divine life. He said, I'm going to give you Zoe abundantly. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. I'm going to give you the divine part of me without limit. I'm going to give you the eternal part of me without limit. I'm going to give you the thing that everybody is in awe of. He said, I'm going to put it in your body. I'm going to put it in your mouth. I'm going to put it in your life. You have Zoe abundantly. Pastor, I need prayer. No, you just need to tap into Zoe. Pastor, we just need 20 minutes. No, no, no. You need to tap into Zoe, the abundant life. I'm not saying we won't pray or nor we won't counsel, but I'm saying if you'll spend 30 minutes with Zoe before you hit email, before hit send on email, if you'll spend an hour with Zoe and in the Zoe life, you're going to find out that you don't need near as much prayer as you thought you did. You just need to tap into the life that Christ died to give us. I'm out of time. Christ, I think they have this to put up. Take a picture of it. Write it down. Christ as the eternal life has always existed so that we could have eternal life and divine life. Eternal life is heaven. Divine life is earth. Check this out. There's two lives that he says. I've come to give you life. And life in abundance. I've come to give you Zoe, eternal, divine life, and I've come to give it to you abundantly. The first thing I want you to tap into Zoe for is to receive salvation, to awaken the God part of you that he invested in you from the beginning of time, to say yes to Jesus. Most of us in this room and watching online, we have said yes to Zoe life eternally. But there are a lot of us that have said yes to Jesus as Savior, but not as Lord. And so we have not tapped into Zoe life abundantly here on earth. That's why we can boldly make claims that God will heal your cancer. That God will heal you of heart disease. That God will put together marriages that are in shambles. That God will rescue prodigal sons. That God will get you out of your mind and the minefield of the mind and put on the mind of Christ protected by the helmet of salvation. It is the reason that we boast that our God is great and can do anything. That our God can heal, deliver, and set free. That our God can literally clear up confusion when it comes to sexual identity and gender identity. I believe that God can do that all because I've tapped into Zoe abundantly. If you believe strong enough that he can save your soul eternally, why can't you believe strong enough for him to heal your body physically right here today? Angie, can I share what you told me before I walked up here today? We shared it just, I think it was last Sunday or maybe Wednesday night. But Brian, just a remarkable young man, I won't tell you his whole story, but 4 or 5 years ago, found a tumor about the size of a baseball in his foot, went through treatment, all of the things, and he sits here cancer-free today, praise God. But in one of his many scans that they do after you've had cancer to make sure that it's still in recession and still gone, they saw something that they did not like in his heart. And so his family called, and we began to pray, the pastoral team, and Mandy and I began to pray. And their report that they just got just a few days ago is that his heart is perfectly healthy. There's nothing there. And we praise God for that. So that was the testimony I shared. She leaned up and said, yeah, we met with the doctor. And the doctor said, hey, everything looks good. And Angie's like, yeah, I know you already told us that. And she goes, Mom, just keep doing what you're doing. Keep giving him the medication. And Angie said, no, we never gave him medication. And the doctor looked at the record and said, well, you picked it up. I know I picked it up. We just never gave it to him. That one's on God. The doctor didn't understand that, but I don't understand a doctor that has a degree in bios to understand a God that deals in Zoe. Can I talk to somebody today? I don't care what the doctor said. We're about that Zoe life. I don't care what the court said. Zoe. I don't care what they said. Now, look, I love doctors. I love nurses. They work for God. But remember, he's the great physician. Stand on your feet. He's the great Zoe. I'm living that Zoe life. I'm living that Zoe life. I've tapped into the eternal. I've tapped into the divine. I'm living that Zoe life. Brian, are you a freshman or sophomore? Freshman in high school. I'm not going to ask where he goes to school because I don't want to put anybody on blast. But Brian's probably one of the few, including the adults, including other believers at his school, that has tapped into Zoe. Oh, I know some that they love Jesus, but Zoe abundantly, most people never get to it. Here, a 14, 15-year-old young man has it. He's seen what God has done over the last 5 years. You can't tell him any different. That's why this young man, he's running the media, he's running the screens, he knows more about all this lighting and stuff than I do, because he said, God, you allowed me to tap into the Zoe abundantly, and so God, I'm going to give you my bios. God, I'm going to give you my suke, God. I'm going to give you everything I have, because your Zoe life has been so good for me. Let me end with this. This is vastly different from thinking Christ came to just give us a better or improved human life. Jesus came, church, so that we could have the divine. So that we could have, remember the last thing Jesus said was, he said, go and wait in Jerusalem. He said, because even though I ascend, he said, I'm going to send you a comforter. We know that comforter will be the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised him from the dead. What is that Spirit? It is Zoe abundantly. Said you'll be able to cast out devils, heal the sick. When we read John 10 and 10 and hear about the abundant life that Christ came to deliver unto us, let us guard against one-dimensional thinking, church, that God just came to bless us and give us stuff. Look at the multi-dimensional God that came so that we could receive deity and that Christ and his Spirit could dwell within us. Remember, your spiritual life, the Zoe, is the most important dimension of your life. And most often, the bios of life follows the Zoe. I'll probably start there next week. But your life has two railroad tracks. Has the spiritual and the physical. Most of us spend so much time looking at the physical, but it's the spiritual track. It's that track that you need to make sure is doing what needs to be done, because the physical almost always follows the spiritual. So take care of the Zoe, and the bios will take care of itself. We were born with our physical birth, and this is the last statement I'll make. Our physical birth gave us bios and suke. Didn't do anything to get it. Our emotions, our decision making, our personal will, the bios, the air we breathe, the sight, the hearing, all of that was given to us when we were born. Nothing to get it. But I'm here to encourage you today. There's something you must do to receive Zoe. You have to say yes to Jesus. You have to repent of your sin. You have to repent of your sin and stop sinning. You say, well, does that mean I'm going to live a perfect life? No, but don't go out there actively sinning. It's not what grace is for. Grace is for when we slip up, when we make a mistake, when we flesh out. But if you want the Zoe life, I sacrifice the bios and the suke so I can open myself to Zoe. And I say, yes, Jesus. I say, God, forgive me. You're the only way. Muhammad doesn't provide Zoe. Buddha can't get Zoe. Hare Krishna. Sorry, you don't even know what that is.